Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Prep Rally, the Daily Journal's high school sports podcast. I'm your host, Brad Locke, and my co-host today is not Gene Phelps, as you can tell. This is Brandon Speck over here, the Journal's prep editor. Brandon, hey, how's it going?
Way better looking than Gene Phelps.
Well, I'll leave that up to the viewers to decide, or listeners. Of course, this is a webcast and a podcast, so right now we're live at djournal.com, and if you miss any of this, you can go back and watch the replay. We'll keep it up on the site, or you can listen to the podcast, which will drop later this afternoon. You can listen to that on iTunes or your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. So, Brandon, we got a full show today, man. Appreciate you filling in.
Yeah, man.
By the way, and if you're familiar with Brandon's work, he's done this sort of thing before, the At Brandon Speck Show, which I have thoroughly enjoyed during the football season.
Thank you. I'm gonna kick it back up in the future. We'll budget kind of ran low. We'll see what happens down the road.
Budget ran low. Yeah. Anyway, that was good stuff. Let's jump right into it here, Brandon. Let's look real quick. Let me grab this paper over here. Tuesday's games. Had a couple of games I want to look at. Let's talk about Tupelo's boys. They beat the South Panola opening division play last night on the road, 76-57 the final, about what we expected. They are now 18-1.
Yeah.
Is that a bit of a surprising start for them?
Yeah, probably a little bit. I mean, I think so. You lose a guy like Antonio Green, a guard from last year, playing ball down in El Paso, near El Paso, I think. But lose a guy like that, and you would think it'll affect your team. 18-1, heck of a start. I mean, the only loss is to Memphis Mitchell, so they've beaten some really good teams. And they're real balanced. They got good scoring. They got a couple guys with size. They got a point guard in Tajuel Herford, who's only about 5'7". Doing a story on him for tomorrow's Daily Journal. But yeah, got some guys who can really play, and they play really well together. And I think their schedule has made them tough. And to come through the schedule they've played, you can look back on Max Prep with their schedule, and they've played some good teams. To be 18-1, I think definitely considering schedule is a little bit of a surprise. But they're a competitor in 6A. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
And you talked about the balance. As you look at last night's box score, it's a good example. Tajuel Herford, you mentioned, had 19 points. Trey Jenkins had 17. Joseph Jones had 17.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Across the board. I mean, anybody can do it any given night. I think in Saturday's Tangle on the Trail over in Pontotoc, they played Hot Springs, Arkansas, which is a number three team according to Max Preps in Arkansas. And Herford, the 5'7" point guard, scored 9 of his 11 points in the fourth quarter. So they've just got guys that step to the plate. And Jeff Norwood, the job that Jeff is doing, is he deserves a lot of credit for getting them where they are. They're a really good basketball team.
And a girls' game that we covered last night, Gene Phelps was there to cover TCPS in Biggersville. Little small school action there. Biggersville ran away with it, 65-32. Don't know if we were expecting maybe a closer game. Claire Golding, the good point guard for Tupelo Christian, had kind of an off night. Biggersville did a good job of kind of shutting her down. And the Lady Lions now 11-6, more importantly, 5-0 in division.
Have not lost a division game, and also a story coming up in a few days. Biggersville's girls won their first Alcorn County tournament, or second one in 23 years.
Yeah.
So that's a team, you know, that's a jolt that can really, really propel you. And I think that I talked with a couple of them yesterday, and they want that county tournament to be something they can leap off of and you know, make a playoff run and try to get to Jackson, get some seniors that they want to in their career right. So, you know, probably not surprising with the momentum they've got from Alcorn. I mean, you know, in Alcorn County, Biggersville was a 1A school, so they have to beat the likes of, you know, of Corinth and Alcorn Central and cause it the way bigger schools. So,
yeah, exactly.
And but you mentioned Claire Golding. She can score with the best of them, but the problem is when you have a volume score, when they don't score, you know, it can be a problem.
Yeah, sure can. So, anyway, just a couple of games from last night. You can find all the scores and a lot of box scores in today's Daily Journal, page 2 of the sports section. Be sure to check that out. Going back to the weekend, Brandon, I want to go over this new tournament that we had debuted in Pontotoc this past weekend, the Tangle on the Trail. That's a pretty cool little tournament. The unique part of it was Mississippi teams versus Arkansas teams.
Yeah, another tournament. I mean, this has become a thing. It started as kind of a national fad. You got tournaments all over the country, you know, like in Kentucky, you've got Marshall Hoop Fest, and you've got all these across the nation, and it's called on here locally, and it's not just local teams. I mean, Tango was all Mississippi versus Arkansas teams, 6 games, state against state. Mississippi won 4 of them.
Yep.
I mean, that's a niche they've got. This weekend you've got North Pontiac Shootout, which has got teams like Westlands versus Hulk, a really good 1A matchup, and our number two team in our rankings, Corinth, playing New Hope, so another good matchup in that one. The following week you've got Hotbed. So Tangleland Trail has kind of the first year. I mean, there was a great crowd all day, and I think very successful, and they'll continue to do that. And I think with the Arkansas teams that I talked with, they really enjoyed it. So if that's something they want to look at in the future and keep that niche, I think they can. Or if they want to, you know, branch out and do different matchups, they can do that too. They've got their foot in the water of a very busy market, and I think they've found them a spot.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Kind of answer my question that it's a pretty good niche they found. It's probably a tournament that can stick around a while, don't you think?
It absolutely can. I mean, people there very much enjoyed it. The Rotary Club of Pontiac put it on and did a fantastic job. The crowd was really good and really active, even from the early morning. And what kind of got him going, Oxford played a team from Cedar Ridge, Arkansas, who had a cat named Austin Reeves, who is leading the country in scoring at 37 games. So you bring in names like that to get people in the door. And a lot of people there stayed all day. It's all day for $7. That's less than a buck a game for some great, great competition. And they have four of our top 10 teams, and Calhoun City won. That's a team that can win 2A. Tupelo was in it. That's a team going to compete for 6A. You know, and teams like that, and Pontiac and 4A, Oxford and 5A. So you bring in the big names against some other big players from other states, and you get people in the door, and they did.
Looks like they had some really competitive games. You mentioned the Austin Reeves kid. He only scored 18, but one of his teammates dropped in 30, and Reeves still filled up the stat sheet.
He did. A couple dunks in the first quarter, first half, and his assist game was on par. He was credited with I think five assists, but it seemed like he had five in the first 4 or 5 minutes. And just an all around good player. 6'5", kind of lanky. Probably could use some meat on his bones, but very great shooter. He had been across his half court, and just a fun guy to watch. And I wish they were coming back to play here again. I like to see him play again.
Okay. You look at this tournament, you look at the Lighthouse Classic that they had back in, I guess, in November, and they got Hotbed coming up. You mentioned it is a national trend, these tournaments, but we've had some of these tournaments around here for a long time. Mm-hmm. Part of it is maybe the national trend, but do you think it's a good sign that Hill Country Hoops is just as strong as it's ever been?
Oh, absolutely. You know, basketball here, you know, we kind of go football crazy. I mentioned this during football season, and it's definitely not a knock on football. We all love our football in this part of the state, but this has always been a basketball heavy area. You know, Union County, Prince County, Lee, and it's just the basketball here is so good. And I think right now, if you're not going to games, you're missing out, because right now, for now in the next at least couple years, I think the best players in the state, not just team-wise, the best players, individual talent is up here, you know, from Columbus and North. There's great players, you know, in Jackson and the south part of the state too, but up here we've got some of the best. And I just think now is the time to be watching this stuff. And, you know, team-wise, it wouldn't surprise me if we go down to Jackson in March and win a handful of titles on the girls and boys side.
Yeah, you mentioned some of the players, and there's some good young players. I mean, you look at the Hobson kid down at Holka, for instance. He's just one of them. Who are some other guys kind of stick out to you?
Ty Jones at Pontiac, he's a junior. You know, he's fantastic in ball. And, of course, you got seniors in Connor McCann, Kobe Agnew. You've got a junior in Felix Hayes, a forward who can fill it up and is a great all-around player. You mentioned Medeiros Hobson. Hobson's fantastic. His stat line across the board, I mean, he's scoring probably 25 a game. He's, you know, I'm not looking at it, but, you know, 5-6 assists, 5-6 rebounds a game. Yeah. He can do it all. And he's not just a guy who can do that 1A Hulk. This guy could go start at Tupelo. He can go start at Pontiac, wherever he wants to go. And, you know, they're all over, man. You've got a couple guys in Corinth. You got a couple guys in Biggersville, Devontae Spears in Biggersville, and Terrace Gwynn in Corinth. And the Okolona, another loaded team. They've got a lot of young guys, you know, a point guard. And then Ladarius Spears, who's a forward center, probably more of a center later on. He's about 6'4". He is a sophomore. And you got Cam Smith. He's a sophomore guard. So Okolona, Baldwin, Calhoun City, and 2A are absolutely loaded.
And I was just thinking of Oxford. Jarkel Joyner is a guy who's already hit 40 points this year. Another one, and I think No Starkville's got some talent. Mm-hmm. Greg Carter's son,
Tyson Carter.
Tyson Carter,
who is signed with Mississippi State. He put on some height last couple of years, and he can fill it up. He is an absolute treat to watch. He's an SEC player. He's going to go to Mississippi State, and I think, and be a contributor pretty quickly. You mentioned Jarkel joining Oxford. I went up to D.C. last year with Oxford's team.
Remember that,
And watched them play. And you talk about national tournaments, getting national exposure. We were watching them play a game up in the D.C., Virginia area. You look up in the stands, and John Thompson III there. Of course, he's the Georgetown head coach.
Yeah, yeah.
So now Georgetown is interested has got some interest in Jarkel Joyner. And that's the reason. There's no coincidence. That whole trip was worth it just to get that kid look from Georgetown.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of talent in the area. And just looking at teams and divisions, we're kind of into division play here now. What are maybe just a couple of boys divisions that really kind of intrigue you?
4-2A, I think, is interesting because you got Cajun City and Okolona.
Right.
And there's a chance that they're both really good and both could win a state championship, but there's a chance, the way the playoff bracket's set up down the road, that one of them might not make it because one of them may have to go to West Tallahatchie and play a West Tallahatchie team that can win a state championship. And it's tough to win on the road in the Delta, just is.
Oh, yeah.
And that division, because of those two, is very interesting. I think 1-4A, you've got Corinth and Pontotoc and Shannon, who are all three in our top 10 boys rankings.
Yeah.
So that's a stacked up division too. Those two are probably the best.
Okay. Got some county tournaments coming up this week. A bunch of them, really all the main ones. Prentice, I think that starts tonight, doesn't it?
I believe so.
Union County Tournament, Monroe County, Lee County. Looking at which one might have the best field, I don't know. Prentice County Tournament looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Prentice is fun. You know, if you wish, you know, Tupelo, for whatever reason, is not in Lee County Tournament anymore, and you wish that was the case because of all the years you'd like to see Tupelo and Saltillo maybe meet up, it's this year.
Yeah.
Two really good basketball teams and both in our top 10. But without that one, probably. I mean, Baldwin is a lot of fun to watch. And Boonville is – it's not going to be that Ball and Boomer game it was when Kenny Paulino was there a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But that Ball and Boomer thing is still fun.
And
Ball and Wheeler back in the day was fun. So there's still a sense of pride there. And the Prentice County Tournament, they all want to win it. I mean, it's a really big deal. And, you know, of course, you got in Monroe, you got Aberdeen that typically wins it. They're down a little bit. I mean, Amory, Smithville, maybe a year. I think it'll be the first time since 07 that somebody besides Aberdeen would not win the county tournament if that were to happen. So, you know, that's still a thing. And It's going in a direction I don't like it going, you know, with Tupelo out of Lee County and then New Albany's not playing in Union County.
That's right.
So it's not a true county tournament. And, you know, if I'm judging that, if Monroe has never kicked Aberdeen out, then we need to stop kicking everybody else out.
Because
Aberdeen has absolutely dominated that tournament in Monroe. And look, you're going to have bigger schools in the counties and smaller schools. That's the nature of a county tournament. It's just the way it's set up to be.
Yeah, that's the way it is. I mean, you look at the Tippah County Tournament, Ripley's dominated it for years, but I think those smaller schools like having a shot to knock off the Goliath.
They do, and it happens.
Yeah, it does. I mean,
it happens a lot.
And when it does, it's special.
It does. I mean, Jonathan Ashley Ingemar, I think he said before that there have been teams in Union County that won state championships and didn't win the Union County Tournament.
Yeah.
And so they're special, and it's fun to win those things. And Biggersville's girls, you know, won theirs in Alcorn County, like we said a couple minutes ago, and it was a really big deal and could be a stepping stone. And Corinth boys won theirs for the 10th time in a row. So that's important to them to keep that going. I mean, you win 10 in a row, the next group does not want to be the group to mess that up. So they're important.
No, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Let's switch gears a little bit here, Brandon. It's always football season, even when it's not football season. National Signing Day is just a few weeks away, early February. We've got some good recruits in the region. A couple we wanted to talk about today. First, A.J. Brown, the wide receiver from Starkville. He's the one that's been kind of keeping it close to the vest, hasn't he? Not talking much about it.
He's not talking much about it. I mean, when you're A.J.'s a great guy and a fantastic player, but when you're trying to, you know, we're always trying to squeeze information out and try to get that scoop, where's he going? And he is hard to get information of. And he's a team guy, in fairness. And he's just not going to talk about himself a whole lot, but he's the guy. I mean, everybody wants him. Of course, he's in Starkville, so Mississippi State thinks they got to have him, and Ole Miss really wants him. Of course, Ole Miss has got Chad Kelly coming back, so you know they're preaching that, look, we're going to sling the ball around the yard. You're our guy.
Oh, yeah.
And Ole Miss is getting DK Metcalf, so I'm sure they'll say, hey, you want to come play with DK, and that's two of the best receivers in the state. And so, you know, guys like that, do you want to play together? Do you want to stay home and please the home crowd? Because I'm sure he's getting pressure there.
Oh, no doubt.
So, you know, he's the guy. He's the guy to watch, and I don't think we're going to find out until that day in February, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see what he decides.
And I believe he's visiting Alabama this weekend, the week after they won another national title. They got to be in the mix somehow.
How do you say no to Nick Saban?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know people do it, and, you know, guys like Channing Ward had a chance and wanted to stay home. And do something at home. And AJ may want to do that too. So I understand when people stay home, but it's hard to look at Nick Saban in your living room and tell him you're going somewhere else, especially when they're coming off another national championship and he's not going anywhere. Saban's not leaving Tuscaloosa.
No.
So he's going to be there. And, You know, I was watching the game the other night thinking about Robert Kimdichie, you know, who originally signed or committed to Clemson.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then decommitted, of course, wound up at Ole Miss. How close he was to a national championship.
Yeah.
So I think if I'm not saying Ole Miss, you know, can never get there, because they were probably 4th and 25 against Arkansas away from maybe getting on that shot.
Yeah.
But you look at a guy like Kimdichie who picked Clemson, it makes you think hard about that decision, because guys are thinking about a national championship.
No
absolutely.
Doubt.
So I think you got to weigh that. And AJ's decision, I don't envy that decision.
Yeah. Well, everyone, that's going to be one of those ones everybody's watching, anticipating on signing day. Another guy from Noxubee County, Jeffrey Simmons, defensive end, and some teams around here had to deal with him the last few years. He is visiting state this week, I believe, visiting Mississippi State. Any kind of feel on where he's going to wind up?
I mean, some are going to disagree. I think it's a toss-up. I mean, I think he could go out of state too, but if you're looking at Mississippi State and Ole Miss, I think he could go to either one of them. I mean, of course, Noxubee, again, more of a Mississippi State feel, I think.
True.
But I think it's maybe 55, 45, 60, 40, one way or the other. And he's a special player. I mean, 6'4". He's 200 and what?
270 already.
I mean, absolute man.
Yeah.
And he dominates a game. He's that Kimdichie type guy who people just cannot guard. And you put two of them, he slings them both off, and you got to put a man on that cat. And he's just a special player. And whoever gets him, that's definitely the top two. And if State or Ole Miss, either one, wind up with those two, it's an incredible haul. Probably the best duo to come out of the state together if they go to the same place, and maybe ever.
Yeah, I mean, State's, you know, you'd hate to lose the guy, A.J. Brown, in your backyard to your rival. And Simmons, I mean, that would be a huge huge signing for them as well. And again, he's visiting MSU this week. Let's hit up the athletes of the week. We do this little feature every week. Gene's not here, so I'm going to present this to y'all. Dug through the box scores and the stories we did. Girls athlete of the week. I'm going to go with Sydney Presley, a junior guard from Neusite. She had a career-high 30 points in a 77-65 win over DeSoto Central on Saturday. Knocked down 5 3-point shots. Neusite, our number one team in the girls' rankings. Yes.
Neusite, that's correct. Very good. Everybody keeps thinking they're going to drop down a little bit, and they don't. That's just they love basketball out in that part of Prentice County.
So, Sydney Presley, your girls' athlete of the week. And the boys' athlete of the week, we're going to go over to the soccer pitch. Clayton O'Daniel, plays for Tupelo Soccer, had 2 goals in a big 3-1 win against Brandon on Saturday. His first goal tied the game at 1-1 in the second half. Then he gave Tupelo a 3-1 lead with his second score. Tupelo also beat Clinton and Germantown over the weekend, but that win over Brandon was huge for Tupelo. That's a contender in 6A they beat right there. So Tupelo looking good, and Clayton O'Daniel, the boys' athlete of the week. So that's it, Brandon. That's it for the program. We're done.
Painless.
Yeah, it was. Smooth, man. Painless. Smooth as that jacket you're wearing.
Thank you.
Yeah,
TJ Maxx.
Good stuff. There you go. Again, remember to follow the show on Twitter, at DJournalPreps. Follow this guy, Brandon, on Twitter, at Brandon Speck.
At your own risk.
At your own risk, indeed. I'm at Brad Locke. And, hey, send us an email to the show, preprally@journalinc.com, if you have any questions or comments. And again, we're on iTunes, we're on most of your podcast apps, and you can listen at preprally.djournal.com. Thanks for watching and or listening, and until next week, I'm Brad Locke for Brandon Speck. See you next time.